And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are delighted that you're here. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we would like for you to fill out a visitor's card and drop that in the offering plate as we collect that this morning. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. God, we are blessed by your presence with us. And we are honored, Lord, that as we come to worship you, we have that privilege. And God, we continue to believe, as you taught us, that worshiping you can change our circumstance. It can change our attitude. It can change our perspective. It can change our world. And Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, that your power might manifest itself in our life in such a way that others would see you in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we continue our service, I do want to pause and remind everyone that back on Wednesday was a week ago, was a time when we, on November the 11th, remembered the veterans of our nation, those that served in the branches of our armed services, and we feel that's appropriate for us even today. And so if you're here today and you are a veteran of any of the branches of service, and I think all of our veterans can, would you please stand for just a moment if you are a veteran? And as you stand around us, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Thank you, Judy. You know, as Christians, we are not in favor of war, but we are not naive enough to believe that we don't worship today under the freedom that the men and women who have put themselves in harm's way have provided for us. And so we are indeed grateful for your service and for your sacrifice for us. And we continue to pray and a very dangerous world. And folks, it's going to always be a very dangerous world. We realize that we have men and women even today who are serving this nation and giving of themselves in very sacrificial ways. Our veterans of the future, for them, we also are grateful. Let's continue our worship by singing.
Please stand and let's sing 340, He Hideth My Soul. Let's stand.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. We thank you for this gathering to hear your word today as Gary may deliver it. Father, we ask that you might bless us as we go forward in this world that's so full of turmoil, that you might lead us into the Thanksgiving season and help us to remember that each day we should give thanks. Father, we ask that you bless this money to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Matthew chapter 25. He was talking to some folks and he said, you know, one day I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was sick and you came to see me. And folks were kind of scratching their heads saying, well, we give Jesus something to eat. How have we ever given Jesus anything to eat? Or when he was sick? I missed that altogether. And he thought, I came to see you. And Jesus was saying, I want to thank you for doing that. And finally, one fellow said, Jesus, I got to ask you a question. I don't ever remember you being sick and me coming to see you. I don't ever remember seeing you hungry and me giving you something to eat. I don't ever remember you really thirsty and me going to get you something. I don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus kind of said, what we're calling this morning, Thanksgiving. Here's what Jesus said, and here's our challenge this Thanksgiving. He said, whenever you did it to anybody who needed it, he calls them the least. He said, you did it unto me. said, when we live a life where we're doing good for other people and we're helping other people and we're going out of our way to make sure that they're being taken care of, Jesus said, we're doing it for Him and we're doing it to Him, just like we were giving Him. So this week, as we think, and I know we have taken up, how many of you saw, did y'all bring in the boxes last week that we had for Operation Christmas Child? Remember all those boxes? We're giving all of those to Jesus. Because every time those boxes go and we give them to somebody, it's our way of giving them to Jesus. Another one of our group took up Thanksgiving boxes and carried them to families who need it. In a way, we're giving to Jesus. We're going to do the angel tree, or angel giveaway, to folks who might not have any Christmas if somebody didn't help. And we're doing that all for Jesus. So I want you to think, when you are nice to people, when you do whatever you can, remember, that's Thanksgiving, and you do it for Jesus. Let's pray. God, it is good to be here today. It is good to have these wonderful young people here, and we are so thankful for them. And God, would you just bless us this week as we think of Thanksgiving, that we might think how we can do unto others, and that would be Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name.
I'm thankful for growing up in a Christian home. I'm thankful that my mother read us Bible stories nightly, which gave me a foundation that carried over into Sunday school and training union. I'm thankful that I felt the Lord calling me to make my profession of faith at 9 years old during a revival service. I'm thankful for the love of music the Lord instilled in me. I'm thankful for all the ministers of music in churches and choral directors in schools that I have sung under. The way I approach music and directing is a combination of all those experiences. I'm thankful for Campbell College and Dr. Paul Yoder, music department chairman, for having the biggest influence on my life and professional career. I'm thankful for Todd Scarborough at Campbell for teaching me more about photography than any school could. I'm thankful for my wife, Caroline, of 38 years. I'm thankful for our two sons, James and Thomas, and their wives, Mandy and Ashley. I'm thankful that they are setting a good Christian example for our grandchildren, Savannah, Michaela, Julianne, and Adelaide. I'm thankful that my wife was called as pastor at Liberty Christian Church. I'm thankful for all the church positions that Caroline had to bring her to the point of being ready for this call. I'm thankful for our move of our household goods went yesterday. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve Flat Springs Baptist Church. Every time I drive past the cornerstone at the flagpole with the date of 1905, I'm thankful for all those that have gone before us to establish this fellowship. I'm thankful for Gail Luck and Regina Mangum for their faithfulness in being here on a consistent basis and playing and accompanying so well. I'm thankful for all the choir members that come to rehearsal weekly to prepare to lead in worship. I'm thankful for the leaders of our children and youth choirs. They are a blessing to many. I'm thankful for Johnny and Donnie running the sound system faithfully for all the services. I pray that as we move forward, we will remain faithful to God and do His will here at Flat Springs.
So blessed by the gifts of your hand.
continue worshiping by turning to hymn number 406. 406. Let's stand as we sing, please.
We are indeed thankful, and you see Jimmy making his exit. We're grateful for him, but he's on his way to urgent care. We're pretty sure he has bronchitis, and so he did that well, didn't he, under those adverse circumstances. But and there is a reception for Caroline. He's going to try to make that as well, so we appreciate God bringing him to us. Let me invite you to open your bulletins to our prayer concerns. You see these beautiful flowers. They are a gift to us from the service of Mr. Roy Smith that was yesterday. We want to continue to remember his family. And there was a tremendous outpouring of the community yesterday for that service as well, as Roy lived his life well. You'll see the other names that are there, and we will continue to keep them lifted up in our prayers. Also, I do want to mention Grace Helton, that is Chris Cameron's mom, and she's having some difficult times right now, and we just want to keep her lifted up in a very special way. And Ronnie Fowler, we've been praying for on numerous occasions, family of Neil and Ruby, and he won his battle with cancer, maybe would be a better way of saying that, and is with the Lord now, and we want to be remembering his family. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, when that trumpet sounds, may we in you be found. We are grateful. We come from a grateful heritage that in 1905, you gave a vision to a group of people to come in the midst of Deep River from the home church and to begin a new work. And Lord, it's a new work today because there are new people in Deep River. There are different people in different rooms. It's a different time. It's a new time. There are new challenges. And Lord, there is that same old call upon our life to love you with all our heart and all our strength and all our spirit. As we lift the names that we have mentioned here on this list and others that are on our heart, we pray, oh God, that you might bless them as you know they have that special need of your presence and of your power. And God, as we move ever closer to Thanksgiving, we are grateful that you gave us all those blessings that the choir sang about. And as Peyton is about to sing, we pray, oh God, we might hear the message from you that she will deliver about how you shed your very blood for us. And God, may we be thanksgiving, thanks living kind of people. In Jesus' name we ask.
A place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe to you. A place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart finds peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, all to you. Cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm
Thank you, Peyton. We do need all, as Jesus gave his all for us. Beautiful song. Let me invite you to open to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 as we continue life-changing events. And probably next only to the cross. The next most significant life-changing event in Christianity is found in Acts chapter 9. It's a pretty big statement, isn't it? And yet I believe it's true. In fact, Paul, here Saul, his conversion is recorded three times in Scripture, three times in the book of Acts, actually, referred to by Paul in his own writings. Two-thirds of our New Testament is attributed to the Apostle Paul. But we're going to see that moment in his life when his life was transformed. When he was changed from a persecutor to a proclaimer. He was changed from one who was in the way to one who was on the way. He was changed. I wonder what this week would look like if I might allow God to change me in those areas where I need to be changed. How about you? Acts chapter 9. We're going to read the first 19 verses. If you're able, I invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Best I can tell, it's about 140 to 150 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus. I read one time they could make that journey in 6 days. They were walking, weren't they, Jack, to make that journey in 6 days? But imagine having such a desire that you're willing to walk 150 miles one way to bring people back to Jerusalem. It's quite a thought, isn't it? I begin to read in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. And so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days it was without sight. He neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and to the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he is seen in a vision, a man named Ananias, come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he is, authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? God, would you give us some insight to what a walk down a dusty road might mean, not only for Saul, but as we walk down life's dusty road, it might mean for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, I guess probably there's some here that this will be so old, it seems like just yesterday to me. Anybody here remember Crocodile Dundee besides me? Okay. And I always liked what he would say, you know, he'd take a walkabout. You know, and he might be gone for several weeks on his walkabout. And I remember in a second episode, he came to New York City. And he did a walkabout there, and that famous line, I guess maybe the most famous of the line, is when the thug on the street pulls out his switchblade, and she says, he's got a knife. He says, oh, no, that's not a knife. And he reaches behind him, and he pulls out this machete, you know, an Australian hunting knife. He said, now this is a knife. Walking abouts. You ever think about life as walking through it? We sometimes talk about the walk of life or our walk in life. What about that? Saul was on his way to Damascus for a whole different reason than it would end up. Maybe today you've come to worship, and I hope it'll end up for us, all of us, entirely different than we may have ever thought. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I think Paul could teach us some things. The first thing he could teach us is that what we really need is an adventure adjustment. Well, Crocodile Dundee saw life as an adventure, didn't he? And we do too. It is that. It is an adventure. We don't know what's going to happen next week. None of us do. Life's unpredictable. Sometimes that is its worst part, and sometimes that's its best part. But it is an adventure. Saul was on an adventure with God. There's a tremendous little theological truth that I've got to throw out that you might miss it. You might not even think about it. But why Saul? Why would God kind of intervene? I mean, I think that if you were to be, if I could just say, Lord, strike everybody in the congregation blind right now, and until they straighten up, don't let them see. My goodness, we might have an altar call if y'all could find your way down here. But we say, God doesn't work like that. Why did he do it to Paul? Saul, I'm going to probably keep, you know, he's the same guy. Everybody okay with that? Saul and Paul, I think it's over a few more chapters, he's going to turn into Paul. In fact, it says that's his other name, so he must have been Saul Paul. I don't know if that's true. Why Saul? Why would he strike him on the road to Damascus? Why would he ask him? Why would he have what we call a theophany, the big word? An appearance of Christ, an appearance of God, like Moses' burning bush. Why? I believe that Saul really was trying to serve God. I don't believe that everybody in the Pharisee world was really trying to serve God. Probably more than we might even imagine, but they were misdirected and But I think God knew his heart. I think God knows our heart. I think God knows that maybe there's some of us even here today who really want to, we really want to do all that God would have us to be. We want to grow into the kind of moms and dads, husbands and wives, young men, young women that God wants us to be. We really want that. We really want to have that adventure with God. But just life, cotton picking life gets in the way. Just doing the stuff we've always done, and knowing that tomorrow it's waiting on us to do it again. But God knew his heart. I think God knows our heart. I believe that if Saul had not really been loving the Lord, I don't believe that God would have intervened that way. Scriptures teach those he loves, he chastises. Saul was on an adventure with God, but it was a wrong adventure. It was the wrong adventure. There's a song that used to sing, I was in the right place, but it was the wrong time, you know. Sometimes you can be in the wrong place at the right time, you know. Where are you today with God? On this Sunday before Thanksgiving. Can you give full thanks to God, or will it be hard to give thanks to God? Because when we're not right with God, it's hard, isn't it? Have you discovered that? When you're not right with God, it's hard. It's just hard. It just really is hard. You want to pray, but it's hard to pray, isn't it? You want to give praises, but it's hard to give praises. It's hard to come into the worship center saying, God, I didn't live for you last week like you told me I should, but I want to praise you today. That's hard. It's hard. Saul was on an adventure with God, but it was the wrong one. And the sad thing is, and maybe even for us today, the sad thing is, he didn't know it was wrong. He thought he was doing the right thing. Sometimes we can be so entrenched, even in our worship, that we're not doing the right thing. I heard of a fellow that was preaching down in a little church in a little town in Texas, and he had been there for 3 months, and he decided on this day he went into the diner, and he was sitting there, and the guy came up to the counter and he said, glad to have you. You new in town? He said, no, I've been here a while. They got to talking, and finally he said, yeah, I'm supplying at the little church right down the corner. The fellow said, oh, you are? That's great. I'm a member of that church. He said, really? He said, I've been there for 3 months. I don't ever remember seeing you. He kind of changed his whole disposition. He said, look, I just said I was a member. I didn't say I was fanatical about it. Are we fanatical about our adventure with God? Or we got it kind of tucked away somewhere? How'd you come to worship today? Did you come hungering and thirsting to encounter the Christ who ran red, and who blessed us with every blessing, every heartbeat, everything? You see, we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order to allow him to change our thinking. I have learned by now I can't change your thinking. Sunday school lessons can't change your thinking. Maybe music, more than anything else, might occasionally change our thinking. Are we walking correctly with God? After attending church one Sunday, a little boy knelt at his bedside that night and prayed, dear God, we had a good time in church today. I wish you'd been there. I wish you'd been there, God. Let me ask it another way. Can you come and walk out of this place and never really be touched by God? Because if you do, I'm afraid we just haven't worshipped. That's what it's about. He needed an adventure adjustment, and then secondly, he needed an eye adjustment. Saul had to become blind in order to see. That's an oxymoron. When you learn that word in school, this is a good example, that you've got to become blind sometimes to see. Sometimes we can't see God because we're looking at everything God made so hard we can't see the Maker. It's easy to focus on the wrong thing. I notice sometimes playing with binoculars, when you focus them in on one thing, everything becomes blurred behind them. And when you focus them on the things that are further out, the things that are closer in become a little blurred. And it's kind of like our eyes. You can do that without binoculars, by the way, just with your eyesight. Where are you focused? Where are we focused? Eyesight adjustment. I wonder if we need to pray today that God might blind us. You ever prayed for that? We pray for people who are blind to receive their sight, but how about folks who have their sight to become blind? That would seem odd to me. But could we pray, God, would you blind me to the temptations that would take me to places I don't need to go? God, would you make me blind to my small desires that I might see your great desires for my life? God, would you blind me to all the things that call upon my life that would make me selfish and self-centered, that I might see your call upon my life? God, would you make me blind to the ways of this world that I might see the ways of the kingdom of God? God, would you blind me to the fear of keeping up with the Joneses that I might see how to walk humbly with you? God, would you blind me to myself and my ways that I might see you and your ways? An eye adjustment. What are you seeing today? You see, when we become blind to this world, our adventure will change. So if you've come today and you need an adventure change, pray for blindness. Ask God to blind you to the things that would stop you from seeing. You see, when we read the life of Saul, later Paul, we understand he was a brilliant man. He had studied in the highest university of his day. He was set to go as high up as one could go in the hierarchy of the Jewish world. Politically and religiously. He was going to be somebody in the Pharisaic world of Israel. But he became blinded. Why? Because his love for God blinded him. His love for God blinded him to the things that he was doing wrong. I wonder today if one of us, all of us, could say, I need to see the things I'm not doing the way God would have me to do it, and allow him to blind me to those things that I might see him. Once you become blind to this world, your adventure changes. And when your adventure changes, then your life will change. Do we need a life adjustment? Do we want Christ to adjust our life? Let me ask it this way. On our road to Flat Springs today, or even our road home, do we want Christ to ask us some questions? Maybe just as hard as he asked Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm not persecuting Jesus. You're persecuting Jesus. Would he say, each time you fail to put me first, you persecute me? Each time you deny my presence in your life, each time you fail to let me be the Lord of your life, each time you fail and you follow a different voice, a different way, you persecute me. Do we want Christ to appear? Not the church. Not the pastor, not even a self-improvement. Do we want Christ to appear? The flowers. We were noticing them before worship this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. Forgive me. Sometimes in getting everything ready on Sunday mornings, I know they're beautiful flowers right in front of me. Now, my view is a little different than yours, okay? I see a lot of greenery right here. But I walked in and was coming back, and I saw the beauty that you see. Choir, you'll have to come around and take a look. You can't even see what I see. They are gorgeous, aren't they? They're Tropicana roses and yellow roses and red roses. And I asked somebody to tell me what three or four of them other flowers were, and they told me. And I would, for the life of me, like to tell you, but I can't remember what they told me. But they're beautiful, aren't they? Aren't they gorgeous? I mean, that is a beautiful arrangement of flowers. And I notice them today. I don't always notice them. Do you ever come to church and don't notice some things that maybe we should? It's amazing what God can do. And that's the comment I think I made to Gail. Isn't it amazing what God, and I thought I had a moment. I'm going to give it to you, and you can tell me if you think I had a moment. I said, isn't it amazing what God can do and how beautiful it can come together when we arrange what God makes correctly? That profound? Come on now, work with me, church. I thought that was, I went back and put that in a sermon. I went right to my office and said, that's profound, because it's true. Have you ever looked at an arrangement and you were suspect of whether it was real or not? And maybe you asked that question, are those real flowers? I want to tell you, these are the real deal right here. I've even reached out and touched them. Have you ever reached out and touched them just to see? Because as soon as you touch them, you know, don't you? I mean, they can look just like anything. But when you reach up and you touch a real flower, when you touch a real flower, it's different. Now, probably somewhere there's an engineer right now that's working on artificial flowers that'll feel like real flowers. I bet there is. But at least as of the preaching of this sermon, there's a difference when you touch the real thing. I think I just said something else profound. There's a difference when you come and worship and you touch the real thing. You allow the Holy Spirit of God. I love what he said. He said, God sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, do we need to regain our sight? Do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do we need to touch the real thing? Or is it just artificial? It looks like the real thing, at least from a distance. How will we leave the worship center today? Are we ready for a life adjustment? I love a story some time ago about a man who was visiting in the Swiss Alps. Early one morning, he heard what sounded to him like an earthquake, and he hurriedly jumped out of bed, threw his robe on, and ran to the front desk. And he said, I think we're having an earthquake. And you could see the fear on his life. And the man in the front desk very calmly said, sir, we're on the west side of the mountain. The sun comes up on the east side. And in the Swiss Alps, as the snow and the ice expand, they begin to warm. And the explanation of that large crashing noise you just heard, it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of a new day. I like that. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of a new day. It was a new day for Saul, who would later become Paul. It was a new day on the road to Damascus while walking down a road one day. And now I've got a question for me, and I'm going to let you listen to the question I'm going to ask me. Gary, do you want a new day with God? There may need to be some things come crashing around me. And it may feel like and sound like for a moment or two the end of the world. But what it really is the dawning of a new day. A new day to walk humbly with our God. A new day to put him first in our life. A new day to give those habits to him. A new day to recommit our heart, our life, our all to him. A new day today, just a few days before Thanksgiving. A new day. Do you need an adventure adjustment? How about an eye adjustment? They'll lead you to a life adjustment when we give ourselves to our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of making some decisions, hear us when we pray for blindness, that you might blind us to all those things that interfere with us walking with you on life's adventure the way we need to walk. And God, thank you for sending Sunday school teachers and pastors and other Christian brothers and sisters who become our Ananias and overcome their fear to come to us and tell us we must be filled with your Holy Spirit. And so now, oh God, I pray believing, I pray hoping, I pray desiring for your Holy Spirit to fall on our hearts right now, to fall on our lives right now, to let us hear your voice, to let us allow you to place scales on our eyes of this world, that when they fall away, we would see you clearly and give ourselves over completely to who you are. Thank you for Saul, who became Paul. Help me to become more like you and less like Gary. In Jesus' name we pray. Our hymn of decision is page 345. Now, I belong to Jesus. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision, some adjustment, whether it be adventure or I or life, as the Holy Spirit falls on this place, may we respond to God as we stand together and say, Thanksgiving service begins at 6:30 this evening. Hope that you can come out. It won't be a very long service, but I hope it will be a very meaningful service. And so, and then next Sunday will be the Hanging of the Greens, and the next Sunday is FSYC's program, the next Sunday is the children's program, and the next Sunday is the Christmas Cantata. And the next Sunday is the Sunday after Christmas. How do you like that? If that just happened, it's just like that. That's how it's going to happen. We do have the angel tree opportunities, and here's some information that we need to give you. Purchase new clothing and three or more new toys. Please do not purchase bikes or electronics.
such as PlayStation, Xbox. Do not wrap gifts. Place all gifts in the bag that are provided by the Salvation Army by the tree. And take your angel tree tag to the outside of the bag. Please make sure it's taped securely and the child's ID is not covered when you do that. Is that good? And they are to be back by December 7th. There are other announcements in your bulletin. I hope that you will read those and be involved as God gives us opportunity. 181 boxes we gave to Operation Christmas Child. 10 boxes the Edstadt Miller Thanksgiving group were able to give, and they're now collecting, and it's in the bulletin, mittens and scarves. Please look at that and be involved as you need to be involved. Opportunities for us to be about Thanksgiving as we share this Christmas season. I look forward to seeing you all back tonight and invite someone to come with you at 6:30 for our Thanksgiving service. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all this. Would you pray? God, we leave now to go on the adventure. We have offered ourselves for eye adjustments and life adjustments. And when they occur by your Holy Spirit, our adventure will be different. Our homes will be different. Our community will be different. God, make us different as surely as Saul.